I've told you I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I am not taking my foot off the gas until I hit $1 billion.
Yeah.
Wealthy people, multimillionaires, billionaires, have a majority of their money in real estate, even if it's not how they made the money.
Yeah, but a lot of people feel like they have to save their way. In that 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years,
right,
you've missed out on all this appreciation. Now that 100 grand ain't even enough. Now you're priced out of the market.
Yeah.
So what I teach people how to do is focus on secondary markets,
yeah,
where you can rent where you want to live, mm-hmm, and you invest where you can afford.
What's your vision for Dubai?
It's possible. And Kevin Garnett won the championship, mm-hmm, and he did that. Anything is possible. It really is.
Yeah. Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. 4 of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books, but I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. So welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Today in the vault, we are unlocking a blueprint that breaks all borders, literally. My guest is a mogul, a movement, and a modern day king. From buying his first property at the age of 21 to selling over $50 million in real estate in a single year, to becoming Canada's youngest real estate developer, Daniel King didn't just break the mold. He built his own kingdom, but he didn't stop at building wealth for himself through his brand, M2M, Millennials to Millionaires. He's teaching the culture how to build global wealth, live free, and leave legacies. Now he's stepping into a new chapter with his soon-to-be best-selling book, Wealth Without Borders, a passport to financial freedom, mindset mastery, and worldwide impact. Family, let's get ready to take notes, because this is just not about real estate. This is about real freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, round of applause for my brother, Mr. Daniel King. What's up, brother?
My G, how you? That was a hell of an introduction, man.
I appreciate it.
I hope that I could live up to this interview with that intro, man. That was the best intro I ever heard.
Nah, man, I'm intrigued about with you and your story, because to be so young and to have done so much amazing things, I think that it's important to really shine a light on you know your tenacity, your relentlessness, and then just understanding your backstory, where you come from, all that stuff. It's a beautiful thing, and I want people to understand this, right? And so, Before we even get there, for those who don't know, in your words, who is Daniel King?
Daniel King is man of God, first, a family man, second, and a hustler, third.
Yes, sir. That's why. Look, I got my shirt. God is the greatest. So I know that about you, and I think that. And I'm glad that you actually said that, because I think a lot of people, when they think about wealth, a lot of people put the hustle first, you know? They put the hustle first and say they're doing it for their family and put God last, where I don't think you can remove God from anything. Like, God is everything.
For sure.
Right? So take me through your journey, right? Not the beginning yet. I want to do it the opposite way, right? 21 years old. Like, how do you get into real estate at 21 years old?
Great question. So me and my best friend, his name was Jonathan. I was driving a truck, actually. So I used to deliver appliances for my uncle's trucking company. So we used to work for Lowe's. So I was the guy that was delivering fridges, stoves, washer, dryers, bringing them upstairs, downstairs, going to the scrap metal after work, you know, to get some extra money. And I was working 7 days a week. But at that age, you know, making $2,000-$3,000 a month, you know, then maybe an extra $1,000 on scrap metal. It was good money, but it wasn't enough to change my family's circumstances. And, you know, growing up as the oldest of three, single mom who's hustled every single day that I can remember, I felt like it was my responsibility to be the man of the household. If something was going to change in my family's circumstances, I felt like that was on my shoulders. So as driving the truck, you know, I did that for about a couple years. I saved up as much as I could within a year. I saved up $20,000. And my best friend at the time, he saved up $20,000 as well. And we bought our first real estate property together back in Toronto, Canada. And it was a condo. We purchased it for $219,000. And within, you know, 6 months, we did some renovations. You know, we ripped up the carpet. We put the laminate floor. Like, I was on YouTube. You know what I mean? Trying to figure out, like, we didn't outsource anything. We did the backsplash. We did an accent wall. We painted the entire place. We put new appliances in there. So we literally, like, you know, renovated the whole spot ourselves at 21. We didn't know what we were doing. It was really the blind leading the blind. But when we did that, our intention was, like, we got to flip it, right? So when it came time to flip it, now we were interviewing different agents, right? We interviewed three different agents, and we ended up choosing one agent. And he ended up being my mentor. And we sold it with him. And I'll be honest with you, we probably only made like $5,000 on the sale because I didn't understand at the time you got to pay commissions on the sale. So I'm thinking we bought it for $220. We sold it for $250. I'm like, 30 G's? Whew, about to hit the mall right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm car shopping. I'm like, yo, I want to get the new Civic or a TL or something. You know what I mean? I want an Acura at that time, you know? And after we paid commissions, I was like, yo, we got like 5 G's left. We had to split. And from there, it was just like, yeah, nah, this is crazy. I need to get my real estate license because I see that real estate is a way to build wealth, but I can't afford to be paying someone else's commission. So at that moment there, the person that sold it for us, which ended up being my mentor, my OG, he saw me and he saw, like, you know what? I see you're doing this and, you know, you sell cars on the side because I used to have a car dealership. He's like, if you're good at sales, like, you know, you should just get your real estate license. And he planted that seed in me. And once again, I'm a hustler. You know what I mean? So in Toronto, to get your license, they give you a maximum of 2 years to do it, but it'll take on average anywhere from 12 to 18 months to get your license. I got it in 3 months.
Wow.
I locked myself in the crib and once I was hungry. And I'll be honest, that's another thing that I think separates me from everyone else. When I was 16 years old, I got a tattoo on my stomach in bold letters that says hungry. So I remind myself every single day, it doesn't matter how much money I have, when I hop out the shower and I look in the mirror, I know that I have to remain hungry to always be able to get to that next level. So I got my real estate license and yeah, long story short, my OG at the time, he's like, you know, you could probably sell, you know, 10, 15, 20 properties. You're a good salesperson. In the back of my mind, I'm like, this guy don't know I'm a hustler. He don't know I started my first business at 8 years old. He doesn't know that I have my whole family on my back and I got everybody that's depending on me. You know what I mean? He doesn't know I got 5 godchildren. He doesn't know I got a niece and a nephew that are depending on me to succeed.
Yeah.
So my first year in real estate, he thought I was going to do 20. I did 147 transactions in 3 months.
Wow.
And I became a millionaire before my 26th birthday. And that was how my story started.
Wow. Yeah, so there's a lot to unpack there. And I love, you know, how you're talking about, like, you kind of like summed it up really, really well. Business, you know, you started your first business at 8, 16 years old, 21. Is it innate in you? Like where did that hustle come from? Where did that grind come from? Where did that sense of responsibility, right? Because I know you're the oldest of three, single parent home. But at 8 years old, like, where did you get the bug for entrepreneurship or business?
It's very simple. Like I said, my mom was a single mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, she did the best that she could.
Yeah.
Her and my dad met at Bible college, you know, and they got divorced when I was about 5 years old. Mm. And it was a little bit of a messy divorce, but, you know, my mom did the best that she could.
Yeah.
But the best wasn't always enough.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
Oftentimes, you know, open the fridge, I see baking soda.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we never went to sleep hungry. You know, my mom may have a couple nights, but she always made sure that we were amazing.
Yeah.
So it came from a hunger of wanting to change my family's life.
Yeah.
It came from a hunger of, I'm the oldest.
Yeah.
I'm the man of the house.
Yeah.
I can't wait for, who am I going to wait for? My younger brother or sister to come do something?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. Yeah. It's on my back. So my family and I moved 36 times. Before I went to university, been to 10 different schools.
Wow.
So to answer your question, that hunger came from being at the bottom.
Yeah.
Basement apartments, building apartments, room for rent, roaches, mice, you know, like rats. Like I would wake up in the middle of the night by like mice dying in like traps.
Wow.
So I would hear the squeal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was my alarm clock.
Man, it's so funny because, we have a similar, you know, similar story. I mean, but it was flipped for me. I wasn't the oldest. I was actually the youngest, single parent home. But I started packing bags at the local supermarket at 8 years old. I would love to do research on that though, because I wonder, like, what is it? Because there's a lot of people that do go through struggle too, and they accept their struggle though,
mm-hmm.
right? They accept it. They kind of follow suit. So. You know, I mean, I guess it's like a side thing as I'm thinking about it, because I'm like, what was it? I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think I was naturally, you know, the only thing I say, I just think God chose me. That's it. That's the only thing that makes
mm-hmm.
sense to me
mm-hmm.
is that God chose me to lead, right? Yeah. Because you know, God guides who He wants to, you
sure.
know. Even when if you read the Bible, you read the Quran, they all set, you know what I mean? Like, yes, we're all made in God's image, but there are people that were chosen. You know what I'm
for
saying?
Sure.
There's prophets in the Bible, prophets in the Quran for a reason, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, I just feel like God chose me, and I feel like God chose you because you're not the only person with that story.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? There's other people with that story, but they ain't do nothing.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I definitely feel like I'm the chosen one for sure.
Yeah.
But I remember going to sleep some nights thinking to God, like, this can't be it.
Mm.
Like, life can't be like this.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, moving around so much, it does a lot to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to a point where, like, I was moving school so much that I never wanted to make friends because every time I built a connection, we had to leave.
Yeah.
You know, this is before Facebook and MySpace
for sure,
Instagram.
For sure,
so,
yeah.
like, in grade two, grade three, grade four, if I move from one town to another, like that relationship is gone. So it made me very introverted.
Yeah.
It made me get closer to myself. Mm-hmm. It made me get closer to God and just realize like, okay, I don't need anybody of this world.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to focus on me.
Yeah.
And I know that there was a diamond inside of me. I know that it looked like coal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But everything that I was going through was pressure.
Yeah.
You know, and that pressure turn me into the diamond that you see today.
Mm, I love that. $50 million in sales in 1 year.
In 3 months.
$50 million in 3 months? Sheesh.
And I'll tell you something about that. That year was so special because that was when the Toronto Raptors won the title, which has never happened before.
Yeah.
So that summer, it was a magical summer in Toronto.
Wow.
And I remember working 12-hour days every single day for about 100 days. Straight.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was taking meetings, like it was crazy. I had influencers posting me. I had a really great affiliate program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was getting paid 4% commission. I was giving influencers like a whole percent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of my top influencers, he made like $250,000 just posting for me.
Wow.
In 3 months.
Yeah.
He ended up being my best friend. You know what I mean?
Right,
because
right,
we ran
right.
up so much bread together.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
But it was a very special, magical time. I felt like I caught lightning in a bottle.
Mm. Yeah.
But they say success is when opportunity meets preparation.
Mm.
I was preparing for that moment since 8 years old.
Yeah.
from when I started my first business called Clean Kids, from when I was selling Blackberries, from when I was selling fake Jordans and Nikes in high school, from when I was selling cars, from when I sold hardwood floors to hot tubs to, I was preparing for that moment. I was already ready. I was just waiting for the right opportunity. Yeah. And I prayed to God every day for that opportunity. Yeah. So before that year in 2019, I never even made six figures before. I never touched 100 grand.
Yeah.
You know, and going into real estate, my goal was 100 grand. And I sat down with my mentor, that same gentleman I was telling you about, and he asked me, how much money you want to make? And I'm like, bro, I just want to make 100 G's. I want to drive a 5 Series, you know, maybe a 3. Let me humble myself. You know what I mean? Get me a little 335, a 328. But I just want to make 100 grand. And you know, he laughed at me. He's like, 100 G's? Wow. He's like, bro, I can't pay my bills with that. He's like, how are you going to take care of your mom?
Wow.
How are you going to change your family's life? Wow. How are you going to build generational wealth with 100 G's?
Yeah.
And then I read a book by Grant Cardone called 10X. And I said, you know what? Forget 100. I'm going to 10X that. I'm going to do a mil my first year. And I ended up doing 1.6.
Wow. What is that feeling that goes through you when you meet that goal, right? Especially from a perspective of quantum leaping, right? So there's a good book called U Squared, and it talks about quantum leaping. Like, people feel like the next logical, they'll do what the next logical thing is, but the truth is you could quantum leap and go past that. I find it intriguing that you say you hadn't made six figures yet, but your first year, within 3 months, you make $1.6 million, right? Yeah. Like, what's going through your mind? How are you feeling going from, you know, not having wealth to touching your first M?
So, first of all, I didn't feel real. Earlier that year, I got baptized. When I made that decision to get baptized, I really gave my life to God, you know. And before that, I was doing some stuff, you know what I mean, that I shouldn't have been doing, you know what I'm saying? And
what Drake said, was bricks at the free throw, what he said, what was that line?
There's so many Drake bars, I don't even know.
He was like, me and my people were like Shaq at the free throw, throwing bricks or something like that.
Yeah. But needless to say, you know, I'm not perfect, you know, but before getting baptized, I was kind of depending on me. You know what I mean? I'm like, listen, I got to feed my family by any means necessary.
Yeah.
And when I had got baptized, I made the decision to put my life in God's hands. And I said, you know what, God, like, if you're real, show me.
Yeah.
Show me. I'm going to put all my faith and trust in you.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave this life behind me. But I want you to show me that you're real. And so, to answer your question, when that happened, it was more of a conversation with God. Like, I ain't never gonna question you ever again.
I love that. What's the biggest myth you think that people have about building wealth through real estate?
People think it's unattainable. Like, that you have to have a lot of money to invest in real estate. Like, offline, we were just talking about Airbnb arbitrage. You can get into a real estate business for under $5,000.
Correct. Yeah.
First and last month's rent.
Yeah.
Buy some furniture. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people feel like you have to save up 100 grand, 200 grand, 300 grand in order to do that. But in all actuality, you just need to have the knowledge. You have to be surrounded with the right people. You have to have the right resources. You know what I mean? You got to have powerful phone book, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you could get started, like I said, with less than 5 G's and slowly start to build up. But a lot of people feel like they have to save their way up there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And how long is it going to take to save 100 grand? Yeah. You know, you tell me, in that 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years,
right,
you've missed out on all this appreciation. Right. Now that 100 grand ain't even enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Now you're priced out of the market.
Yeah.
So what I teach people how to do is focus on secondary markets.
Yeah.
Focus on tertiary markets where you can rent where you want to live and you invest where you can afford. And that is what allowed me to scale at a very, very young age. I never owned real estate downtown Toronto, nor would I want to. It's like New York. Right now, it's over $1,000 a square foot.
Right.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I'm building, for example, where I do development, is in Niagara Falls. Mm. It's less than half of that.
Yeah.
Right? So you have that opportunity to actually be able to grow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you can't buy high. You know what I mean? The whole part of real estate is you got to buy low and just let it build. You know what I mean? Yeah. Another myth I would say is that people think that it's overnight success. Like, I'm going to buy a property today. I'm going to flip it tomorrow. Like me, like my first property, I got it, flipped it in 6 months, thinking I'm about to be rich and I'm about to go get this Acura TL.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, I could barely buy some lunch after that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. So I think that's the key as well. Just understanding that, you know, you don't have to wait till you make it. You know what I mean? You could slowly build.
Yeah.
Partner up with somebody like I did. I got with my best friend. You know what I mean? I got 20, he got 20. Mm-hmm. Let's get something we can afford. Let's just get our foot in the door.
Yeah.
Because the first one is the hardest.
Yeah.
After that first one is done, everything's a walk in the park. But it's really a marathon. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not a sprint. Getting rich, building wealth, this doesn't happen overnight. This is not no microwave success. And I'll be honest with you, I don't own any crypto. Mm-hmm. I don't even own stocks. Like all my wealth is in real estate, which is a blessing and a curse because I feel it's safe. You know what I mean? And it's not volatile.
Yeah.
I can't wake up one day and it's up or down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If Trump says something, you know what I'm saying? Like, then you know what I mean? I might not be eating at McDonald's this month instead of, you know what I mean? Eating at Ruth Chris. You know what I mean? But I say that when I buy a property, I'm buying for 3 to 5 years in mind. I'm not buying with hopes to flip in within a year or anything like that.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I'm at a place in my life right now where I'm not even buying to sell. I'm buying to keep forever and just build cash flow. Because when you sell, now you have capital gains, you have tax. Mm-hmm. And once again, that's another reason why I wanted to leave Toronto, because once you start making these M's and you realize, you know, they come knocking for their check.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so let's talk about that, right? Because, you know, wealth without borders, literally, you're building wealth without borders, right? You're like, all right, Toronto, I made some M's, America, you know, I got some business here, but I'm going to Dubai. Yeah. What was the inspiration that made you go somewhere else to, you know, make money, but also, like, you know, continue to build your empire?
So I'll be honest with you. It was COVID. We was locked in the house.
Yeah.
And one of my homies, he had called me and he's like, "It'll be, we going to Dubai." Hmm. And I just see Dubai on Instagram. And I'm like, yo, I've been locked in this crib for a little bit. I'm I need some fresh air, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I went, it was honestly just a vacation, you know? And as soon as I touched down in that airport, I felt a sense of peace that I never felt before.
Wow.
As soon as I left the airport, I seen opportunity that I never seen before.
Wow.
You know, and throughout that trip, I experienced a level of wealth that I've never experienced before. Mm. I was a guy in Toronto. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was somebody. You know what I mean?
Right.
I went to Dubai and I was nobody.
Mm. And when you say that, you were somebody based on, like, yo, you running up M's.
I'm 26 years old. Right. I just made $1 million.
Yeah.
I just got a brand new Tesla Model X. Doors going up.
Yeah.
I'm taking care of my mom. I put my mom in a 4,000 square foot rental house. Like,
yeah.
I felt like I made it.
Facts. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I felt like, yo, I made it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So going to Dubai, I'm like, yo, I'm renting a Wraith. I always wanted a Rolls Royce.
Right.
I'm renting a Wraith. My homie got the Rari.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, we about to bag all the things. Like, you know what I'm saying? We about to go crazy. Can I tell you, bro, they treated us like it was a Honda Accord and a Toyota Camry.
Wow.
We didn't break one neck.
Mm.
And funny enough, there was one restaurant we went to. They didn't even valet the car. They told us we had to park it around the back because our license plate was too long. So in Dubai, the status symbol is the shorter the plate, the more expensive it is. So plate number 1 through 9 is exclusively for the royal family.
Yep.
Plate 10 through 99 can range anywhere from $3 million to $80 million for a piece of metal.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter the car you're driving.
It's the
plate. So you could pull up in a RAV4.
Right.
If you got a 33 plate on, you're worth Not you. You're nine figures. You could be a billionaire. Word. So that's how they respect you. Mm. That's a status symbol. So when I pulled up with my six digit plate,
facts. Yeah.
They're like, yo, right. You can park that around the back of the building. Word. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. I was just like, at that moment there, I'm just like, I'm paying $1,400 a day for this car.
Yeah.
I got it for 3 days. I didn't even get it for the whole trip. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. This is how y'all treat me.
Right.
I could have took an Uber here. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So needless to say, it was a wake up call. That even though I thought I had made it in Toronto, I hadn't even had scratched the surface yet.
Wow. Yeah. And you know, it's funny because, you know, a lot of us as you know, coaches, people in the, you know, business space, you know, entrepreneurship space, we always talk about being in a room, right? And networking and connecting, but not just in any room. You want to be in the rooms that you could learn from, the rooms that you're not the smartest or the richest, because that pushes you, right?
100%.
How did being in Dubai push you, and how did that make you say, this is where I need to run up 100 M's in?
100%, because I went from being the richest person in my circle to being a fly on the wall that nobody even would look twice at. Mm. So I had met somebody there, and his name is Aquaman Ahmed, you know what I mean? And he built a company to like nine figures in like 10 years. His first year in business, he failed like 617 times. He got rejected, and he has the biggest water park in the world.
Wow.
And I remember meeting him, and he's like, yeah, if you're the top dog in your city, it's time to go. Mm. And when he said that to me, I'm just like, right. Like, I never wanted to be a hometown hero.
Right.
I wanted to be a living legend.
Right.
You know, so I was like, if I'm the richest person in my circle and I only know one person that's eight figures, which was my OG, I'm like, I felt at the time like there was still more I could learn from him, but I feel like I hit my ceiling in Toronto. Yeah. I feel like I outgrown it.
Yeah.
At 26, I feel like I outgrown it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like trying to figure out, okay, like, what's the next step for me? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Even after you made your M's. Mm-hmm. 26, you still like, yo, what's next?
Because once again, if I hadn't taken that trip to Dubai, I would have been I wouldn't be here today. Mm. And I wouldn't even be a developer today. Mm. I would have kept being an agent. I would have kept selling units. Mm. And I would have just kept running up the bag, but I would have been at somebody else's mercy.
Yeah.
I wanted to be in control of my own destiny.
Yeah.
So when all of this happened, it was that trip literally changed my life.
Yeah.
Because it was like God telling me that, like, you know, Toronto was great. You know, you learned how to crawl and walk here, you know, but now I want to make you run.
Right.
Mm. And I want you to run with the most successful people in the world, the elites. Last year, there were 6,700 millionaires that moved to Dubai. I was one of them.
Wow.
But there was more millionaires that moved to Dubai than anywhere else in the world. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter where I am. Any conversation I have with somebody, it's normally somebody important, you know what I'm saying? And networking changed my life. Meeting EYL, and even that story was crazy, you know, and how even that came about, because when I had started my podcast, it was literally because we were inspired by EYL. We were stuck in the house, you know, and it was just like, it's COVID, we stuck in our house. House is like 6,500 square feet. We chilling, we throwing parties every week. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was COVID for the rest of the world.
For us, we was living
our best life,
so
we had a barber shop in the basement, and we also had like a spare bedroom. And we're like, you know what? Let's get rid of the spare bedroom. Let's turn it into a podcast studio. Mm. And we started Millennials to Millionaires. That's where it was born.
Yep.
And, you know, we had seen that EYL was coming to Canada for their Market Mondays tour in 2023. So that the first stop was New York. Second stop was Toronto. Mm. First stop was in February. Second stop was in April. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? I can't wait for these guys to come to Toronto for me to introduce myself. It's going to be too late. There's going to be a lineup around the block of people that want to have their ear.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, I'm going to take an hour flight for a 1 minute conversation. Mm. So I flew to New York. They had a show at Carnegie Hall. And I think it was Robert Smith was there.
Yep.
Busta Rhymes was there. There were some heavy hitters in the building. Mm-hmm. But I got there like 2 hours before the event had started, because I didn't even have a VIP ticket.
Wow.
I had a general admission ticket.
Yeah.
And I got there 2 hours before the event had started to figure out where the VIP area was. So I was in there while they were setting up.
Wow.
So they're looking at me and they're like, oh, you're with the sponsors, AT&T? I'm like, yeah, yeah, 100%. You guys need help with anything? Like, you know, I'm just making sure everything is cool.
Right.
So I was in that room just waiting
for
the right time. And it was actually Rashad's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I saw a moment where he was standing by himself. I walked over to him and I'm like, how you doing, brother? My name is Daniel King. I'm the youngest real estate developer from Toronto, Canada. I see you guys are coming to Toronto in a couple months. I just want to let you know, as soon as you touch down, I got you. Mm. Who's the best person to talk to? He's like, oh, AB, right over here. Boom. Got AB's number, locked in with him.
Yeah.
And I planned the most amazing weekend that I could plan.
Yeah.
This weekend cost $50,000. Mm. I called in every favor I could.
Wow.
We played played basketball at the Raptors training facility.
Yeah.
We had a Harbor 60 dinner with Louis XIII. Mm-hmm. Cost us $14,000. We went to the club. Twice pop bottles. Yeah. I sponsored the Market Monday show just to get my logo up on the screen.
Yeah.
But that weekend cost me $50,000. But I wanted to leave the best impression that I could. Mm. And I knew that these guys were doing something that I wanted to do. So I didn't even know what my ask was yet at that point.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know that I wanted to plant the seed and I wanted to build a relationship. Because in everything that I've done in my life, even being a developer, is because of my OG. He put me on. It was based on relationships. So it's not what you know, but really who you know and your work ethic, you know. So that weekend, even though it cost me 50, everyone was looking at like, are you crazy? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you? Were you a groupie? Like, you know what I'm saying? You're spending 50. What did you get back out of it? You know what I'm saying? Right. And in my mind, at the time, I was questioning whether it was the right decision or not. But in all actuality, it was the best decision that I could have made because I planted the seed. And even though I didn't have an ask at that moment, I built the relationship.
Yeah.
And I let things happen organically.
Yeah.
I could have forced myself. I'm like, yo, I'm spending 20 grand to sponsor this show. Mm-hmm. I want to be on the stage for Market Mondays.
Right.
I'm like, it's not my time yet. I'm going to let the OG go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. He probably got more value and more game, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool. I'm going to sit back.
Right.
I'm going to wait till it's my turn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now we got InvestFest this weekend.
Man.
And now it's my turn.
Man. And so couple of things I want to unpack so much is like, your willingness, like you didn't know all of this was going to happen, but your willingness to see an opportunity, and literally, first of all, pay, right? Like you weren't shy. You paid to get on a flight just to have a 1 hour flight, but just to have a conversation,
a one minute conversation
yeah. that led to all of these different things. And you willing to put your money up, and it, you know, obviously has paid dividends. You know, 2025, you're on the InvestFest stage. So I want people to understand that. I want people to know and see, you know, and see that. And so now, you know, we fast forward, right? You see the opportunity. You want to be around wealth. What's your vision for Dubai?
Dubai, like I said, changed my life and it gave me hope. Mm. It showed me like what life could be like. You know, I always thought that living in Toronto, like I didn't take my first vacation until 26, right? So I told myself I wasn't going to take a vacation till I made my first million. There wasn't nothing for me to celebrate. Mm. I'm still in a basement apartment. My family's still struggling. Mm. What am I doing going to Jamaica for? Mm-hmm. What am I doing going to Mexico for, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So I really kept my head down. But like I said, when I went there, I seen the highest quality of life. Mm. I seen safety. I seen peace. Mm. I seen wealth. I seen networking at the highest level. Yeah. I seen real estate being built on water. Mm. Like they built an island called the Palm Jumeirah, and they have a new one called the Palm Jebel Ali. They literally building like on water.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And not only that, all this happened in 50 years.
Right.
50 years ago, this was a desert.
Right.
This Dubai is 20 years ahead of us. They got flying taxis starting next year.
Wow.
Like they're 20 years ahead. Wow. So it's like growing up, you know, especially, you know, Drake coming from Toronto, I'm like, yo, I want a house on the bridal path.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that's how you made it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You could afford a $20, $30 million crib. Mm-hmm. On Bridal Path, like that was my end goal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I went to Dubai, I'm like, nah, I want the house on the palm. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So Today's my actually my 32nd birthday. Happy birthday. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I'm going back home after InvestFest to my house on the Palm.
Nice. So, like, what Nipsey Hussle said, you know, I put some things into the universe and they appear.
Simple.
Talk to somebody who is saying to themselves right now, why would I invest internationally where, you know, I have bet more control investing locally? Like, why would somebody, you know, become somebody who, you know, who builds wealth without borders?
No, that's a great question. The truth is, you actually don't have control locally. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking that the government, Donald Trump, has your best interests at heart is like thinking a stripper actually loves you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, for example, in Canada, if I have a tenant that doesn't pay,
yeah,
it could take me a year to 2 years to kick them out. I have to go through a process. I got to serve them papers. I got to go to the landlord and tenant board. Mm-hmm. So in all actuality, you might think that you're in more control because you're closer to the property. Mm-hmm. But in all actuality, the laws are not set up in the favor of the business owner, of the landlord, of the investor. It's not. The tenants actually have the most rights,
yeah,
right? So, and on the flip side, in Dubai is run like a business, mm-hmm, right? If you don't pay, like, you go to jail.
Wow.
You give somebody a bad check, right, you could go to jail. You know what I'm saying? So, like, they stand on business, wow, right? So, it's a place where if you can follow the rules,
yeah,
you can live the best life of your life.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Wow. If you don't have discipline and you don't have, like, you know, integrity, all of these things, it's going to be a hard life for you. Mm-hmm. But they have so much advantages set up, especially for people that are coming from this side of the world. It's tax-free. There's no income tax. There's no property tax. There's no capital gains. Mm. So right away, in Canada, I pay 50% property capital gains. If I sell a property, I'm paying 50% capital gains. So it's just like I'm giving the government 50%. Right. Not only that, when I'm taxed, I'm getting taxed. I'm in the highest tax bracket. Yeah. I'm getting taxed at like 50% as well.
Wow.
So it's like I'm working
You work for the government.
Listen, pretty much.
Right.
I'm working 6 months out of the year for free.
Right.
Then I got winter. Then I got to shovel snow.
Right.
I got 2 months out of the year, July and August, where the weather is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Dubai, the weather is good 12 months out of the year.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
There's
so many advantages from the tax savings. But not only that, when it comes to even investing, even short-term rentals, we're talking about Airbnb. Mm-hmm. Dubai is the second most visited place in this entire world. Mm-hmm. Paris is number one.
Yeah.
Dubai is number two.
Wow.
Right? So when you're thinking about tourism, mm-hmm, you know what I'm saying? Airbnbs, like I know people that are cash flowing $3,000-$5,000 a month on a one bedroom. You know what I mean? $2,500 on a studio.
Wow.
Cash flow.
Wow.
In Canada, I'd be lucky if I break even.
Wow.
You know, so it's like you gotta follow the money. You know what I'm saying? You gotta treat the money like breadcrumbs. You know what I'm saying? Just follow it. You know what I mean? So
what would you say? Like, give me like the top ways you can make money in real estate, right? And so You know, obviously, you know, you're saying invest in Dubai, but what type, you say Airbnb, give me like the top three ways. If I was somebody who never invested in real estate and I want to make money, what would you tell me?
I would say there's three simple things you could do. First thing, if you don't have a lot of money, Airbnb arbitrage. Mm. So we spoke about that.
Yeah.
That is pretty much you leasing someone else's property and then putting it up on Airbnb and renting it out. And the joke is you could actually find places that are fully furnished. Mm. You know what I mean? So a lot of the times you get something on lease, you have to furnish it.
Yep.
Might cost you 5-10 G's to furnish the entire place. If you find something that's fully furnished already, that's turnkey. Mm. You get it, you pay your first and last or whatever it is, 6 months you pay for the year, you put it up on Airbnb and you start generating money right off the rip. That's the first way. The second way is you can actually invest and actually buy real estate for as little as 150, 200 grand, you could get your foot in the door, right? Get a studio, something small in a good area. Right now, there's a new casino that's opening up for the first time ever in Dubai, which is going to be a game changer. Yeah. Yeah. They have a new airport. They're spending $35 billion to build. It's going to be the biggest airport in the world.
Yeah.
They got a new Palm Jebel Ali that I was telling you about. So there's a lot of new up and coming areas where there's so much opportunity and room for growth.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say definitely, you know, actually investing and owning something if you can.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third way is buy land. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a developer.
Yeah.
So when I see dirt, when I see sand, you know, a lot of people just look at it and see what it is. But
I'm no tech genius, but I knew if I wanted my business to crush it, I needed a website now. Thankfully, Bluehost made it easy. I customized, optimized, and monetized everything exactly how I wanted with AI. In minutes, my site was up. I couldn't believe it. The search engine tools even helped me get more site visitors. Whatever your passion project is, you can set it up with Bluehost. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, what do you got to lose? Head to Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com to start now.
I'm a visionary, and I see what it could be. Yeah. I see an acre of land, and I see that, okay, this could be a 46-story tower. You know what I'm saying? With 10 levels of underground. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so I'm able to kind of see that because I have that vision. You know what I'm saying? So those are the top three ways: Airbnb arbitrage, actually invest in real estate, and just buy land and sit on it. Because at the end of the day, you know, they're not making any more land. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're doing on the water. Yeah, unless you're in Dubai. Because I remember there was a quote once, it's like, you know, buy land, they're not making any more of it. But they actually are. You know what I'm saying? But it still has value. And because it's growing at such a rapid pace right now, just buying land and sitting on it, you know, you could get rich by doing that. You know what I'm saying? I know somebody that bought a parcel of land for like $800,000 last year. It's already worth 1.4.
Wow.
Like in 8 months. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like they just bought the land. They didn't build anything. They didn't go to an architect. They didn't make plans. They literally just put their money up. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, they have their money in crypto and stocks, and which is cool, but diversify. Real estate is the safest asset. Somebody is always going to need somewhere to live. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you ain't really going to need a Coca-Cola stock. You ain't really going to need Ethereum. You know what I'm saying? It's good to have, but you are always going to need somewhere to live. You know what I'm saying? And that's why all my money is in real estate, because like, it took me so long to get to this point. I'm scared to go back. I'm not even going to hold you. I'm getting flashbacks of growing up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm scared to go back. So like, for me, I have all my wealth in real estate because it's the safest way.
And I mean, so there's so many things from a wealth builder perspective, because I forget the numbers. It's 90 something. I was going to say 99, but I don't know if it's that high. But 90% or more wealthy people, who multimillionaires, billionaires, have a majority of their money in real estate.
100%.
Even if it's not how they made the money. Right? Because a lot of times people think, well, multiple streams of income, multiple streams of income, and they try to make money all these different ways. But it's really, you know, focusing on, you know, the one thing that you're actually good at. But once you make that money, real estate, it gives you the tax benefits. It gives you, there's just so much that you can
do. Do you know how many of my clients that I've literally made millionaires just by buying their primary residence that they live in? Like I sold, like my first year in real estate, I sold in 2019, my first transaction was somebody I sold a car to. One of my homies. So like I tried to transition my clients over. And I'm I'm not the car guy no more. I'm the real estate guy now. And I sold him this, it was a townhouse, a semi-detached actually, for $600K. Right now, today, it's worth 1.6. Right? So he's he's a millionaire.
Walks in a millionaire.
From 2019 until today. Right? So he was able to, you know what I mean, leverage, and you know, the market's up and down, but at the end of the day, just by buying the house that he was living in, not even becoming, I'm an investor and I'm going to do flips and this, and just by just buying the house that he lived in, you know, at the right time, because real estate is all about timing and location. So just by getting something in the right location at the right time and having the money to be able to take advantage of the opportunity once it crosses your desk, he became a millionaire just like that. Right. And I know there's crazy stories of people becoming crypto millionaires and all of this, but it's just like, you became a millionaire the safe way,
right?
Without risking everything that you built. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's funny because I have a friend who actually became a crypto millionaire recently, actually, with the Trump coin.
Maddie J.
Made a lot of, you know, a lot of money off of that. But even in that, just watching the way, you know, the money was being moved around because of the risk. You know what I'm saying? It's like you don't want to necessarily leave it, right? You want to make sure that you're moving it around so that way
it's so volatile.
Yeah, it's volatile.
I woke up one day, it was $5, and it was actually Tabidi. Tabidi texted me while I was in Dubai.
Yep.
And he's like, bro, cop some of this. Trump just dropped it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's real or not, but like, you know, it looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
Cop it. And when he told me that, I think it was at like $15. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, nah, nigga, I don't know about this. I don't know. I was thinking about throwing a grand in, but like, I never bought crypto before, so I didn't really know how to do it, what to do it. I'm like, my download, he's like, go download the Phantom wallet, this. Yeah, and I'm just bro, this is too complicated.
Yeah.
Did you buy it? I didn't. Oh, and I woke up the next day, it was like at $70.
Mm.
I was kicking myself.
Wow.
And I seen people become millionaires before my eyes.
Yeah. And I don't even know how much, because I bought some. Mm-hmm. But I didn't buy, I bought it at 40 though, or something like that.
Okay. What'd you exit at?
I didn't exit.
You still got it? What's it worth right now?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, man, like, so the reason, so I know a lot of people got it like low.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to miss out. So I bought a bunch at 40.
Yeah.
But the thought process was, even if I miss this one, hold on to it, because I think he was holding out. Like, there's more coins that he's going to release. And when he releases those, the 40 that I have might go up. So I have to check to see, but I just know he got 4 years, and I'm just, you know, it's a timing thing. Yeah. But to that point though, right? To that point, it's like, I'm really like, my money is out. Like, it's phantom, right? Like, I have my money out there, and who knows? I may get a big win or I may not.
Yeah.
But with real estate, is there the possibility, like, can you lose in real estate?
Of course, mm-hmm. It's business. You could lose it. If you bought real estate at the peak of the market, mm-hmm. and you listen to your realtor that said, oh yeah, buy this. Oh, it's a bidding war. Oh yeah, we got to do 100,000 over asking, 200 grand over asking. Mm-hmm. So in Toronto, the peak of the market was 2022, February. And I remember it very, very vividly, because in that first quarter of the year, I sold 17 properties in the first quarter.
Wow.
The market was on fire. Anything you put on the market, I had a lineup around the block, and in 2 days, I probably have 50 showings and 12 offers.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't have to do nothing. I was sitting back. Yeah. It was the easiest money I ever. Once I got the client, it was already sold. You know, so literally, you get a bunch of offers, and then you put people against each other and be like, yo, you got to come up. Or you know what? You know what I'm saying? You got to play this sales, right?
For sure.
So a lot of people that overpaid for what houses were because of their fear of missing out. Correct. Oh, if I don't buy it right now, it's... I know people that overpaid $300,000-$400,000 on a house, and right now the market corrected itself because of all the interest rates and everything that's happening.
Yeah,
and they're down $500,000.
Wow.
So they gotta ride out the wave. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and it might not be another 6-7 years
mm-hmm.
until it gets back to the point that they bought in at. You know what I mean? But it's all about timing.
Yeah,
and it's all about location.
Yeah.
And not only that, having the right team, having the right people in your corner,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, not all realtors are created equally, you know, and truth be told, it's like, I think 5% of realtors in Toronto make over like 150,000. Most people, like, they have their license, but like it's part time, or, you know what I mean? They're not really in it. Like, I submerge myself in this every single day. I'm reading real estate articles, reading real estate books, watching videos, watching the news, YouTube. Like, I immerse myself in this because, especially when I met some of my OGs, even a guy I interviewed on my podcast, his name is Brad Lamb. He built up like $9 billion in real estate under development right now. Mm-hmm. And one thing that he said to me on our podcast that stuck out to me, he's like, I just outworked everyone in terms of what I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so real estate is a game of confidence. So if you can talk to somebody and they ask you about a property and you're like, oh yeah, you're talking about the one on the seventh floor that's 863 mm-hmm. square feet. Like, when someone's trying to compare, oh, you know what? I want that one because it's $15,000 less. Yeah, but it's also on a noisy street.
Yeah.
You're in the hood.
Yeah.
You know, it's not renovated.
Yeah.
You know, you got tenants in there you got to kick out. Like, there's a lot of things that, you know, you have to take into consideration. Unless you have the right people in your corner,
mm-hmm.
you're never going to win.
Yeah. And like, you know, speaking of having like the right people in your corner, I have a good friend of mine, Storm Leroy, who... you know, he was investing heavily in out-of-state real estate, right? And his message was really like, hey, if you are in a city or state that, you know, the cost of living is high, real estate is high, then you could go out of town. So, you know, Detroit, Cleveland, Ohio, mm-hmm. these places 100%. That are killing it. And his philosophy was really about being able to get the right teams, right? Making sure you have the property managers, the power team.
It's essential. Right? You got everyone. The mortgage broker, yeah. the appraiser,
yeah.
the lawyer, like your team, you are only as good as your team. And that doesn't apply to just real estate.
Yeah, facts.
That applies to business.
Business, yeah.
You sitting here right now, you got the best content creators here. You got the best shooters. You got the best people that are your social media management. Like you are only as strong as your team in whatever industry you're in.
Yeah.
So, but especially with real estate, because when you think about it, it's the biggest investment you're ever going to make in your life. Mm-hmm. When else are you going to spend $1 million?
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it is the biggest investment that you're making. So business is cool. But like, if I'm making the biggest investment, I need to have all A players on my team.
Yeah. And how do you, I guess my question is like, how do you find those A players, right? And what's the risk, right? Like, what's the risk of trying to find A players in a foreign country that you don't, like, how do you stop yourself from, you know, getting people who might be scammers or mm-hmm. might not give you the right things or, you know, like how do you find that team?
It's a great question. It boils down to what I was just talking about with EYL, relationships.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to Dubai, I'm not just interviewing random people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lean on a couple of relationships that I have and I'm going to say, hey, bro, hey, Aquaman, like you built a 9-figure portfolio. Mm-hmm. Who would you recommend for me that is the best real estate agent in the game?
Mm.
Who would you recommend? Who do you use?
Yeah.
Who's your lawyer?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I don't call for favors. I had that guy's number for 2 years.
Yeah.
I met him in 2023 and I had just asked him to be on my podcast this past March in 2025. Mm-hmm. And I learned one thing is that you don't use the number unless you have to.
Mm.
You know, like I ain't calling him to shoot the shit.
Facts.
How's your day going?
Facts.
Yeah, what are you up to?
Yeah.
No. If I'm calling you, I either got a bag for you, or I have an ask. And I'm not gonna make an ask unless I know I really need it.
Yeah. No, it's funny you say that because I think that you know, a lot of people don't realize the importance of relationships and the importance of like proximity. I literally had this conversation with somebody recently that I was trying to mentor. And I just felt like they didn't realize like how much it was a benefit to have access to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this in an arrogant way, because in fact, I gave them that example. I gave them the example, like I have a mentor right now who is worth, I want to say $250 million.
That's heavy.
Yeah. And I don't take that relationship for granted. You know what I'm saying? Like he's always.
They'll stop picking up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's the thing I don't think people realize is like, he's always my mentor, but I'm very delicate. Like I don't just reach out. Like you said, I just don't want to just shoot the shit. Like mm-hmm. If I'm going to reach out, it has to be purposeful. And I was using that as an example. I was like, well, and the other thing though, too, is that every time, and we speak, right? Every time he talks to me, I'm not questioning what he says to me, because he's a place where I aspire to be. So when he tells me something, I shut up.
Yep.
I'm listening, right? If he reaches out to me and he tells me something, I'm saying, yes, okay, got you.
You
got to
be a sponge.
You got to be a sponge. And, you know, I feel like, you know, with the particular person I was talking about, like I'm trying to coach them, and it's combative. And I'm like, bro, there's nothing, and I mean, again, I mean this respectfully, there's nothing you have that I want.
I'm doing you a favor.
I'm doing you a favor. And so if you're going back and forth with me, you know what? Yeah, keep that. And then now you lose access. And I don't think people realize that. What, you know, and I mean, you've kind of said it though, but you know, do you believe that like relationships, like if you were to choose right now, you know, relationship with, you know, a billionaire, or I give you $10 million, what are you choosing and why?
The billionaire, 100,000%.
Not 10 million right now. I give you 10 million. Bro. You take that 10 million. You a 10X guy. You could probably flip that. You taking the billionaire
if,
still?
If can flip it to 10x,
right?
I'm still only at 100. Mm. I have no clue how to get to a B.
Yeah.
And that's my goal.
Yeah.
My goal, I'm not, I've told you I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I am not taking my foot off the gas until I hit $1 billion.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if I can have a conversation with somebody that's already made it there, bro, they can get me on the path to success with as little detours as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can literally say, hey, Daniel, this is what you're going to do, X, Y, Z, boom, boom, boom. Like Aquaman, he gave me the play.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, listen, what you got to do, you got to have an event in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sell real estate here.
Yeah.
You're going to bring over as many investors as you can from North America. Mm. You're going to leverage your influence, and you're going to leverage other people's influence around you.
Yeah.
And boom, having my event in Dubai.
Talk about that.
November 5th to 10th.
Let's go.
And it's going to be an amazing experience.
Yeah.
But once again, this is a play that I didn't think of by myself.
Yeah.
This is a play that one of my OGs gave me. You know what I mean? But when I'm around him, I'm not talking. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, right. I'm a sponge. I'm just here to listen.
Yeah.
And before I even go into any meeting with him, I got a list of questions. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? If I can only ask this guy 3 questions, what is it going to be? What do I want to walk away with?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't take their time for granted. But once again, Dubai, it's a safe place. So when I connected with him, off the rip, yo, come pull up to the penthouse. Mm-hmm. Like, nigga, right. I'm from Toronto. Right. You don't invite people to your house.
Right.
Like, you don't know me.
Right.
You wake up with guns in your face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when he's like, yo, come to the penthouse, 2023, just off that first interaction that we met on Instagram, it was like the game, I got $1 billion worth of game in that 1 hour conversation. Yeah. $1 billion worth of game.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll take the relationship any day, because that 10 mil, I'm not gonna lie, I know what to do with it in terms of buy real estate. And sure, could I 10x it in 5 to 10 years? Mm-hmm. Maybe. Mm-hmm. But you know, even without having that money, having that relationship, they can show me all right how to get that.
Yeah.
So that I can flip it. 100%. And now get it to the B, because they already did it.
Yeah.
So it's just literally, yo, how could I follow in your footsteps? What did you do that I could replicate?
Yeah. And you know, and my answer would have been actually the same. But I think that a lot of people don't understand also that there are relationships that money can't buy.
Facts.
And so even if, let's just say, you took the 10 million and you flipped it to 100 million, now you're worth 100 million. If you don't have relationships, if you don't have power,
you could blow that.
Yeah. But not even just blowing it. Like, your 100 million doesn't mean anything.
No.
Right? Because, again, you know, there's relationships that money can't buy. You can't get into certain doors. You can't, you know what I'm saying?
And that's a whole other thing. Like, just even the rooms, some of the rooms in Dubai is, there's certain rooms you can't get into if you're not 8 figures.
Yeah.
Then there's certain rooms you can't get into if you're not 9 figures.
Wow.
And then there's certain rooms that are reserved for billionaires.
Wow.
Where you pull up and there's only Bugattis outside with single or double digit plates.
Yeah.
So what you said was so key, because when you really think about it, what's the difference between 10 million and 100 million? Like, in terms of your quality of life.
For sure. No, I get what you're
going. At 10 million,
I
got a Rolls Royce Cullinan.
Yep.
I got a Rari.
Yep.
I'm living in a 10,000 square foot house.
Yep.
My kids are going to the best schools.
Yep.
Life is good. My mom's retired.
Yep.
Like, at 100 million, how much better could my life get?
Yeah.
I'm already on a PJ.
Yeah.
Like, but between 10 and 100, it's really not a difference in a quality of life. It's just a number. And one thing that Aquaman told me that really stuck to me, he's like, bro, I don't even feel successful. Mm. I'm looking at the most successful person that I know. I'm just like, is this guy on drugs? He doesn't drink or smoke. I'm like, are you on some type of drugs? Like, what do you mean you don't feel successful?
Yeah.
He's like, no, like, I still work like 60, 70 hours a week. Mm. Like, and I'm like, how is this guy outworking me?
Right.
And he's already at 9 figures. Like, you know what I mean? Right. His work ethic is like, he doesn't even look at the money. He's married to the game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? For him, it's like, the money is just a scoreboard. It's just a byproduct. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but it's literally, he just wants to be the best version of himself. He wants to, like, 700% his business. Right. Like, when I was asking him, like, yo, where do you see yourself in 18 months? He's like, yeah, we're going to 700%. I said 70.
Yeah.
He said, no, 700.
Wow.
percent.
Wow.
And even if you fall short and he gets 400 or 500, it's you shoot for the stars. If you fall, you land on the clouds.
Yeah. How do you balance, you know, ambition with integrity? You know, I think that's one of the things that I feel like is missing in our culture a little bit. Because people, you know, a lot of people want to get to the bag, a lot of people want to get to the 100 M's, people want to get to the Billy. And you know, they have the mentality of by any means. So how do you balance the two?
And when you asked me that question in the beginning of who am I? Mm. I started with God.
Yeah.
Because that is in my core the most important thing to me.
Yeah.
God has given me all this stuff, he could take it away tomorrow. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Today's my 32nd birthday. I didn't have to wake up this morning. Mm. You know, so in all actuality, integrity comes from you being right within. Mm. At the end of the day, you could be chasing the dollar, you know what I'm saying, and doing all of these things, but unless you're right within, and I believe in Jesus Christ, you know what I mean? You could believe in Allah, you could believe in whoever you want to believe in, as long as you understand there's a higher power. And at the end of the day, all of these religions have a very similar principle.
Yeah.
Love yourself, love people.
Yeah.
Right. So when it comes to integrity, it's
like, and the thing is though, you can't like I believe also you can't love God if you don't love yourself and people.
100%.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like when you speak about integrity, it's not even something that I have to try to be integral.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just who I am.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know what I'm saying? The other day I saw a wallet with $1,000 in it. And I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I opened it up and there was a business card in there.
Yeah.
For a real estate agent.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Sure. Damn. Yeah, I wish I didn't have to see that. Like, you know what I mean? Right, I wish I could honestly say, I don't know who this belongs to. Right. But at the end of the day, even though that there were no cameras on me and nobody saw me pick that wallet up, I know God's seen me. Right? So it's like, for me, it's like I called them, hey, I found your wallet, all your cards, and they had tears of joy. Mm. They're like, yo, I never thought I was gonna get this back. Mm. You know what I mean? But because of me living like that, that's why God blesses me 10 times. And it's like, I could be on my, you know how it is as an entrepreneur.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You could be in overdraft one day,
sure.
And next day you have 100 G's in your account.
Sure.
God has never let me be hungry.
Yeah.
It's been times where I had less than $20 in my account.
Yeah.
And I'm just walking on faith, and like, I'd be with friends or even a girlfriend at the time, and I'd be like, yo, you're not worried?
Right,
like,
right.
Like the rent is due in 6 days and like we don't have it. And I'm just like, God always find a way.
Yeah.
Like I'm his son.
Yeah.
He loves me.
Yeah.
Why would he leave me out to dry?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So just living and just being a good person first, the blessings are always gonna follow.
Nah, I agree. I agree 100%. Because I also believe that the more people you serve, the more God will bless you, right?
100%.
What would you say, right? So, you know, multimillionaire in your 20s, you know, on your way to 100 M's, to that Billy, what would you say the biggest money lesson that you've learned so far?
The biggest money lesson. Don't let the money change you.
Mm. Okay.
So, you know, like I said, not making six figures my whole life, you know, and then in 2019 becoming a millionaire, like it was a culture shock. I went from driving a hoopty that's, you know, the speedometer don't work. I don't even know when the gas gauge is. I'm just pumping gas, you know, every day, put $20 in to I'm driving a $150,000 Tesla, like understanding that this wasn't me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just a vessel for God. Like this was literally him that did this for me. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people will make money and they get rich and switch, they say. You know what I mean? And they don't stay true to the people that were there for them. Mm-hmm. They don't stay down and stay loyal to the ones that were there from the very, very beginning. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that never let the money change you. Mm-hmm. Never let, you know, money, you know, like your integrity, like you say, never let your integrity determine, you know, what you're going to do or what you're not going to do. Stay true to yourself. Stay down. Mm. Keep your head down. A lot of people feel like, I'm going to do this and it's overnight success and I'm going to buy this crypto. And it's not. You put your head down.
Yeah.
Disappear for a year, 2 years. Stay off social media. Because even when it comes to social media, you're either consuming
right.
or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're giving out game. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're either making money off of social media or you're making somebody else money mm-hmm. on social media. Yeah. So I say that to say just use your time wisely. Keep your head down. You know what I'm saying? And we live in a generation where, you know, everybody wants to pop off. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to live outside their means.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to jump in that Benz or that Beamer. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? Post the pics on the gram and pop bottles in the club and all of this stuff where it's like, what are you celebrating?
Right.
What are you celebrating? Right. You don't own any real estate. Mm-hmm. Your mom is still working in a factory. Mm-hmm. Your kids are struggling. Like, what are you actually celebrating? Right. You don't deserve to be at a club. Mm-hmm. I can count on one hand the amount of times I've been to a club my entire life. Because when I go there, I'm just like, I'm looking around like, yo, this bottle is 10 times the price.
Yeah.
Yo, I need to own a club. I'm thinking, because I'm looking at it from a business perspective. Yeah. I'm looking at it as like, yo, this owner is like, he's playing music.
Yeah.
People are standing on these couches and like, they're paying 10 times what the bottle's worth.
Right.
You're telling me a bottle of Casamigos is $800? Right. Like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
You know, for a couple hours of fun.
Right.
So I just like, just disappearing and like not trying to keep up with the Joneses, not trying to live that social media cool life and be popping online. Nah, live within your means. Get that Honda Civic. Get that Toyota Corolla. Keep your head down.
Yeah.
Stay down till you come up.
Yeah. What do you want to be remembered like when it's all said and done, and when we think about Daniel King's legacy? How do you want to be remembered?
I just want to be remembered as somebody that gave people hope. Somebody that was able to shine a light, you know what I'm saying? Because I remember those dark days where I felt nothing was possible. I remember, like I said, opening the fridge and just seeing baking soda. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember those dark, dark, dark days and not feeling like there could be more for this. There could be more out of life, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the main thing that I would honestly say is stay down till you come up. Stay true to yourself. Stay true. Work hard. Keep your head down. And at the end of the day, the blessings are definitely going to follow.
Yeah. Love that. Love that. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wish I would have asked you on this interview?
Honestly, bro, it's the best interview I've had in my life. I'm not gonna hold you.
Yeah.
We spoke about a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I just would wanna wrap up in saying that it's possible.
Yeah.
Like when Kevin Garnett won the championship mm-hmm. and he did that, anything is possible. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, whether they're living in the USA, Canada, wherever they are. You know, I know a lot of people don't even have passports. They never even left their hometown.
Yeah.
Much less took a 14-hour flight to Dubai.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I would want people to know that there is something greater on the other side.
Yeah.
And the greatest things in life are on the other side of fear.
Mm.
Me leaving my family, my loved ones, my girlfriend at the time to...
Did she leave you after you left?
Oh yeah, that chapter's closed.
Okay.
But I had to make sacrifices to make this decision.
Yeah.
You know, everything amazing in life was on the other side of fear. Mm. Everything was on the other side of fear. Yeah. Taking that leap of faith, packing two suitcases to the brim, and jumping on that flight to go to Dubai and saying, like, I don't know where I'm living. I don't know how I'm making money. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to figure it out. Yeah. I'm going to jump out the airplane and build a parachute on the way down. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I knew that I was either going to sink or swim.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm a shark.
Yeah.
And I've already seen the worst.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, for me, it was like me. It took me. So remember, I had that conversation with Aquaman in 2023. I knew at that moment I was meant to live in Dubai. It took me 2 years to build up the courage to take that leap of faith.
Wow.
It's hard, bro.
And willing to leave everything behind, too. I think that's
Bro, my family is everything to me.
Right, it's
me, my mom, my brother, my sister, my niece, my nephew, my five godchildren. Right. My family is small.
Right.
I ain't got like a bunch of cousins, my aunt, uncle.
Yeah.
My grandma passed away. My uncle that raised me died in my arms when I was 15 years old. Wow. Like, my family is super tight. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So for me to like now go to the other side of the world, there's a 9-hour time difference.
Right.
There's only even a couple hours out of the day that I could even speak to my family. Because when they're up, I'm sleeping.
Right.
When I'm sleeping, they're up.
Right.
So it's literally, it was the selfless thing I could have thought about doing, because a lot of people are like, yo, how can you just pick up and leave your family like that? Like, nah, you don't leave your family behind. You build up enough until you can take everybody with you. And you know what I'm saying? And that's even my OG. He's like, nah, you don't leave your loved ones behind. And I was just like, I hear you.
Yeah.
But I had to go lay down the groundwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to go plant some seeds.
And God gave you the vision, and it wasn't a conference call, right? Like, I gave it to you.
Simple.
Yeah.
God already told me in 2023, this is home.
Yeah.
And I just had to build up the courage.
Yeah.
I had to have that mental fortitude.
Yeah.
I needed that mama mentality.
Right.
Where I was ready to wake up and drop 81.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I needed that.
Yeah.
And in doing that, it was the best decision that I've ever made in my entire life. And I wish I did it 2 years earlier. I'd be sitting different right now. You know what I'm saying? I might have the PJ already.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
But just
everything happens when it's supposed to happen. So
whatever you are most scared about in life, whatever your biggest fear is, do that shit.
Do it.
Yeah. And just watch.
Just
watch what happens.
Watch
what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Watch what happens next.
Yeah. And speaking of books, Wealth Without Borders, why did you feel like now is the time to share, you know, to share your story?
I'll be honest. I get anywhere from like 100 to 200 DMs a day of people asking, hey, can you mentor me? Or, hey, like, how did you do this? Or, and like, I have a community that I have built on school platform called the Winner Circle, but it's $500 to get in. You know what I mean? You want one-on-one mentorship with me, it's 5 racks.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know not everybody is at that place.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I didn't have $500.
Yeah.
Right? So just seeing everything that you do as well is so inspiring with the books. And I was just like, I don't have a low ticket offer. Mm-hmm. Right? All my, it's either you buy real estate from me.
Sheesh.
Which you need
a bag.
You need 50 to 100.
Yep.
You get mentorship from me, which is, you know, 5 to 10.
Yep.
Or you can join my monthly, you know, Zoom calls, you know, for $500, where we bring on, you know, industry experts every single month. You know what I mean? The most successful people that are in my network, I'm calling those favors. You know what I'm saying? Like the Michael McDonald's, the Ian Dunlap's, the Tabidi Stevens. Like I'm calling in those favors to pour into my community, because it's like, they may not have access to them, but I do.
Absolutely.
Right. So it's like, I'm almost letting you into my phone book by doing that. But I understood that not everyone's at that place where they have 5 bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They don't have $444 for the year.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be able to put something out there for, you know, a reasonable price where people could get this game. Mm-hmm. And by reading that first page to the last cover, they'll be able to have the knowledge, the resources, and the hope to be able to change their own life.
Yeah. Love that. I'm doing something special for y'all. So my insiders, I'll put the link below. For the first 100 people that click the link, I'm giving you a free copy of Wealth Without Borders. All you have to do is pay for shipping and handling. So make sure y'all hit the link below. If somebody want to connect with you, where can they find you? And then tell them about your event as well.
I can 100%. So on Instagram, the best way to find me is Daniel King. It's spelled DNYL.KING. On Instagram, my company is Millennials to Millionaires, M2M.INC. And November 5th to 10th, we are in Dubai for M2M DXB, which is going to be an international investment experience. We got headliners Troy and Rashad of EYL. We got, you know, a lot of people that I can't even mention yet because, like, we doing the rollout. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we didn't even put the tickets up yet. By the time this drops, tickets will probably be up.
Yes, sir.
But we're launching tickets Friday of InvestFest. We got a special offer, you know, for the festival. But I'm bringing the most successful people that I know.
Yeah.
Nine figures, mm-hmm. billionaires. I'm putting these people in a room. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for anybody that's willing to take that leap of faith and see what Dubai is all about, I can guarantee it is going to be a life-changing experience. And one thing, another thing is there's only 100 tickets. So this isn't, once again, this is not a event where it's unlimited. Right. This is first come, first serve. Mm-hmm. You act swiftly or you might get left behind. There's no sitting on the fence. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to make this an exclusive experience. I didn't want people to come and feel like they're just a number. You know, I wanted you to come and I want to take you to the desert. I want to bring you to the Atlantis on the Palm. I want to bring you to Abu Dhabi. I want to show you what Dubai has to offer, you know, and I can't do that with 1,000 people. Mm. You know what I mean? I could barely do it with 100 people, you know what I'm saying? But we're building the team out right now to make sure that we can facilitate it. But it's only 100 tickets, 75 general admission, 25 VIP. The VIP is going to have a whole nother level of an experience where we're having a mastermind dinner. Where we're going to have a celebration yacht party on the biggest yacht in Dubai, 200 feet black yacht. You know what I'm saying? So you're gonna see what's possible. And if not anything, even if you don't come and invest in Dubai, you're going to come back home feeling inspired. Mm. Yeah. And that's when I came home from my first trip. I was charged up.
Yeah.
Drake got that track too.
Yeah.
Charged up.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I was charged up because I'm like, all right. This is the new goal.
Yeah.
My vision board was bridal path, a Rolls Royce, mm-hmm. family. And that was what I saw, mm-hmm. like the end goal being.
Yeah.
Now it's like the goalpost just moved. Mm-hmm. And it moved 100 yards. No, you know
ceiling.
What I'm saying?
No ceiling. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I'm going, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, it may have taken me 2 years to get back over here.
Yeah.
But I made it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm bringing my family this time this winter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got the villa, you know what I'm saying? We got the crib on the Palm. I got my whole family for the first time.
Let's go.
They're coming to Dubai. I've been to Dubai every winter since 2021.
Yeah.
It's the only place in this world. I've been to 27 countries. Dubai is the only place that I've gone more than once. Wow. Everywhere else is like, yeah, I've been to Santorini. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've been to Jamaica. We ate the jerk chicken. It was all right. We went to Tulum and Cancun. Yeah. But when I went to Dubai, it was like a drug.
Yeah.
Like, bro, I'm so itching.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, InvestFest is done, bro. I'm back on that flight. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I can't wait to get back.
Yeah.
Because the opportunities are endless.
Yeah.
I'm charged up. I'm inspired. Mm-hmm. I'm meeting the most successful people in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm building with the most successful people in the world. Mm-hmm. And the opportunities are truly endless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what we all about.
Let's go, y'all.
And we need you out there this year, too. I'm just letting you know.
I don't know. We might have to make that happen.
Listen,
Dubai's calling.
Listen, we're putting together a crazy lineup.
Yeah.
So I already know you the GOAT in this game.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to books, building out the infrastructure, the business side of things, there ain't nobody,
You do physical real estate. Let's do this digital real estate. You know what I'm saying? Might be a good little... Right. We might have to make that happen. And that's my... It's my birthday week too, so that might be a nice little birthday gift.
Let's do it, bro.
For me, so
listen, we gonna celebrate birthday in Dubai. How old are you turning?
It's my joy year, 45.
I thought you were gonna say 23. I was about to say
nah.
I was like, bro, I see the grays right now. Ain't no ways you 23.
It's my joy and comeback year.
Comeback year. So listen, and guess what? I'm 32. This is my magic year.
Let's go. Oh, okay.
Magic speaking at InvestFest this year.
That's it.
All right, so it's your Jordan year. It's my magic year.
That's it.
Right, we got to make magic.
Bring that 4-5. It's not to play games with you.
Let's go.
It's to aim at you. Probably maim you.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. We are closing out the vault, y'all. Make sure y'all tap in with Daniel King, the king of international real estate, the king of Dubai, the king of wealthless or borderless wealth. So Wealth Without Borders, make sure you tap the link in the bio. Make sure you get the book. Make sure you become one of the exclusive people that's coming out to Dubai. Meet the guys there. Meet me there. And we're closing out the vault. This is Inside the Vault, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Visit us. Follow us on all social media platforms @InsideTheVault. Go to our website, InsideTheVaultShow.com. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at I am Ash Cash. I'll see you next time. Same time, same place, in God's will.